Show Me the Way, episode 28, the quarterback to NFL trainer and beyond. This episode, we talk with Todd Durkin. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know. First, I'm going to get really excited about this guy because this is a little bit different approach than some of the folks you've seen, because this guy's going to bring energy and enthusiasm and talk about his experience in going through the succession plans that he's had to deal with. But he's going to bring energy, because in all acquisitions, succession plans, M&As, you're going to run into something called deal fatigue. You're going to be worn out. This is the guy and the podcast you need to listen to when you get to that point. Those of you that have listened to me, you remember Denise Logan. I said, go talk to Denise when you're trying to figure out through the sales process where you're at. You go to Todd when you need a boost of energy. This guy is your coffee connection by way of a podcast. We're going to talk to him about his experience from when he was a college athlete to a real national level. I don't want to call him just a motivational speaker. He is really a mindset guru and fitness expert for athletes of all ages, types, and abilities. He also is going to talk about a physical injury he had a couple of years ago, how he dealt with it, which is one of the inspiring moments for me getting to know Todd about how he deals with the difficulties of life. You're going to love this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so excited. I can hardly wait. Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Fain LLB about business succession planning, being successful in business, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I am your host, Dave Sider, and joining me on today's show is the one, the only, Todd Durkin. And by the way, he will tell us at the end of this how to access his podcast and information. You want to check this guy out, because for over 30 years, Todd has gone from being a college quarterback to an NFL Europe player, to a fitness guru, to an NFL fitness champion, a national motivation speaker. And I'm declaring today that he is the national mindset guru for America, as well as being an overall all-around champion for people. Todd has achieved success in growing his one-person fitness business to multiple business entities that expand from coast to coast. Todd wants to share his insight, observations, and secrets in growing his business exponentially from one entity to multiple entities. Todd, welcome to the show. I hope that sets it up perfectly for you, but I'm very enthusiastic about this. This is going
to
be exciting.
Man, what an introduction, Dave. Thank you. I'm fired up to be here and to to just, you know, chop it up with you and your crowd, just knowing you now for a couple years and all that you're doing. I'm honored to be here and that our paths have crossed, and hopefully someone can glean some, not only motivation and energy out of today, but also some insight and wisdom from the lessons I've learned as well.
Excellent. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's in the wonderful part of the country, SoCal, specifically in that area around San Diego.
Yeah,
that we all know and love, those of us anyway in the Midwest. So I had a chance to go out and visit with Todd and his team. Really exciting story he's going to share. But let's start at the very beginning. Give us a flavor of your background, your early business experiences. Where were you born and raised?
Man, I'm an East Coast guy. I was born and raised in New Jersey. It's called Brick, New Jersey, Jersey Shore. And while it's a far away where I'm from now in San Diego over the last 25 years, being raised in Brick, New Jersey, very blue collar town, Dave, I'm the youngest of eight kids, five sisters, two brothers. Mom and dad got divorced when I was 5 years old, kind of instilled in me at a young age about work ethic and sacrifice, because my mom raised us eight kids with pretty much one salary as a private duty nurse from age five all the way up, basically through my teens. I had a dream and a desire and a goal to use sports, specifically football, to open up some of my dreams. And at that time, I dreamt of at first becoming a high school quarterback and star, earning a college scholarship. And then my goal was to play in the NFL. And a lot of the ethic I have today stems from where I grew up and that little boy who was the lunch ticket kid, man. I had I had those orange lunch tickets and we didn't have money. and I was embarrassed at the in the lunch line, but that instilled something in me that to this day I'm grateful for, that childhood growing up with not a lot.
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember where I read this, but especially with boys, they say that time period from like 13, 14 through 18 or 19 is where a lot of the behavior is put into place. And if it's not put into place there, it's going to be an issue later on in their life. All right. So you fast forward, you grew up, you had, frankly, if I may say it this way, some tough beginnings, but you dealt with it. You wound up going to college where, and how did you choose to go to that college?
So throughout high school, I actually had a lot of athletic success and academic success. I was in 11 varsity letters in, in high school, starting from my freshman year on up in three different sports. I earned the college scholarship, football scholarship as a quarterback from Brick, playing for a legendary, iconic football coach, Warren Wolf, who has since passed away. But this is a man who mentored me. I earned the football scholarship to College of William & Mary, William & Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, where it was there. I was a captain my senior year. But interesting, Dave, I think one of the first adversities or setbacks I had was as a junior in college when I was just 20 years old. My father, my biggest cheerleader, he came back into my life when I was 10 and taught me a lot about life and mentoring me after he came back. He became my number one fan and mentor and all these things. At age 20, my father suffered a massive heart attack and passed away. And that was my first real experience in life that set me back and said, man, like, what is this all about? Here I am. I have a dream to play in the NFL and, you know, I'm enjoying college, but I just thought, I don't know if I want this anymore. And I questioned my faith and I questioned everything I was doing. And getting through that very difficult period of my life, as a dad now, looking back, it makes me a better man because my dad, Dave, now listen up, folks. My father wrote me a handwritten letter every single day when I was in college. From 1989 to 1992, every single day without fail, on the back of a McDonald's menu, typically, I'd get a note or a letter because he didn't have much money. He'd go to McDonald's and get some pancakes and a coffee for 99 cents, and he'd get me some press clippings from the Asbury Park Press. And now, let's remember, cell phones didn't exist. Computers didn't exist. Right. Like, these things weren't around. It was old snail mail. But let me tell you what, when it comes to the power of a handwritten note or letter, I remember that to this day of the power now of every day going to that mailbox and getting a letter from my pops. So losing him, man, that forced me to do some serious soul searching about life.
So I know that you went through, because of this, and thanks for all of that background, that you went through a crucible at a very young age, twice, when he left, when he came back, and then gone again. So I know we'll get to this later on. This had to have helped you later on in your business career. So that's going to be exciting to listen to. So everybody stay tuned. There's more to come. So you're in William & Mary.
Yep.
Okay. Or as I think they call on the East Coast, Bill & Mary.
Bill & Mary.
I have a general counsel friend that went there as well. So he played baseball for a couple of years. Yep. So I'm sure you knocked it out of the park while you were there and got your degree. Share a little bit of that experience, what that was like.
So, yeah, I got my degree in kinesiology and then got my fifth year. I took a fifth year and got my teaching certification in health and physical education. Truth be told, at first, I was a government major. I thought I wanted to be the president of the United States. So I took that and I went to do a little internship on Capitol Hill as a sophomore. Oh, wow. And I liked that, but I was like, you know, it's not my passion. So I went to business. And in business, I took an accounting class. That weeded me out of accounting and business. I'm like, I hate this. I don't like this. And I had taken this anatomy class that I loved.
Right.
But I'm like, man, I don't know what I want to do with that. But I learned a lesson that later has taught me a lot in life about trusting your gut, because at that time, there weren't a lot of options when you were a kinesiology or exercise science major, but that's what I love to do. And fast forward, I became a kines major, got my teaching credential. But when I was done with college, I still felt like I had more football left in me, but I wasn't drafted. I didn't have such a great career that I was going to get drafted. So I'm like, okay, what's the next best thing? I'm going to take the circuitous route to the NFL. I'm going to go overseas because I had this opportunity to go over to Europe and play. And I ended up going to, at first, Germany, Berlin, Germany, and then Amsterdam, France, and then Cannes, France over a two-year period. And it was when I was in Cannes, France, that I suffered at age 25 a real serious back injury, left me motionless on a field in Aix-en-Provence, France. I can remember it like yesterday, getting hit by two linebackers after picking up a first down. I was a quarterback. And Dave, I remember, like you played hockey, so you know pain. You've been in fights and everything else. But for me, I have felt a lot of pain in my life. I had already had five concussions and sprained and strained every muscle and ligament of my body, but I had never felt pain like this before my back. I couldn't get up. People come on, get me off on a stretcher. And I go to this doctor, the hospital in France, and he's like, "Do you have a back problem? Three herniated discs, spinal stenosis, degenerative back disease, football career over.
Finite."
And all I'm in France with no one around. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am, age 25. My dream from age 5 to 25 was to be an NFL football player. I'm like, what's next? Like, but I couldn't fly home because I was in such pain. So for the next 2 months, I have a nurse coming to my condo twice a day, shoot me up with painkillers. I'm soul searching, thinking about I can't fly home. So I'm doing all this rehab over there. Mm-hmm. And I really did some deep inner work on myself of like, hey, what would be the next step? What's that? And honestly, truth be told, when you're in pain, I need to get out of pain. So I started going on this journey for the next 5 years to find gurus and healers and doctors and you name it to get out of pain without having surgery. And that was my mission, became my mission of, okay. And I lived all over the US when I eventually got back there, and I ended up meeting people, and one person would lead to the next. And that led me ultimately to a guy named Michael King in LA. Michael produced Oprah Winfrey, Wheel of Fortune, and Jeopardy. He had back pain. I fly out to Malibu. I'm living in Malibu, California, training Michael and all these Hollywood people. And I'm like, how did I get here? Like, how did I get to Malibu? I'm a New York guy. I'm an athlete. Now I'm in LA training people, doing massage therapy and body work and keeping them pumped up. And I was making good money, Dave, but I wasn't fulfilled. I knew this isn't where I was going to end up. Mm-hmm. And I met another mentor named Dub Lee, who taught me something called Rolfing and structural integration.
Yes.
And I went through that whole series. He got me off of Vicodin. He got me out of painkillers. And next thing I know, I find myself back in grad school, San Diego, and met my future wife. In year 2000, I opened up my gym, Fitness Quest 10. No clients, no money, no business plan, but a lot of passion to change lives. I didn't know anything about business, but I knew that I wanted to help people. And that was the start in January of 2000, with very little knowledge from the business side, no clients, was I'm going to change the world in this 2,000 square foot studio with refurbished equipment, carpet on the floor, and just a passion to help anyone. And there I was.
So here's the fun part about this, if I may say it this way. There are so many people that I've interviewed so far that started what I call with the kitchen table analysis, right? They're at the kitchen table and they go, I want to do something. Mm. And I know there's something I'm going to do. And I'm making the jump from being an employee to a business owner. And what you have shared with us, which thank you, is the crucible you went through to get to that point, the search, which I think is what really we can talk in larger terms, succession plan. You are wanting to succeed,
yes,
okay, and achieve something. And I think people a lot of times think of succession planning as I'm on my way out. My analysis is you're on your way in, and Amen. It can be Amen. During the business cycle on the way out. So thanks for sharing. That gives me better understanding. And I think I've learned something today that I'm going to do a better job with all of my interviews to talk about the crucibles that they went through. So thank you for that heads up. That was really good.
Absolutely. And I just want to make sure y'all know as you hear this is I made it sound so linear and methodical of 5 years of going through this. Let me tell you what, Dave, there were a lot of nights and days where I was empty, lost, not knowing what the next step was, not knowing who was I going to meet. And those, that journey for years, not weeks or months, but years, was I kept hearing this voice of like, keep going, there's something special inside. And I was open to receiving whatever I was being led to do. And I wasn't being trapped by money at that point in my life of saying, okay, I've got an opportunity to be a full-time strength and conditioning coach at a college in LA making, you know, $70,000. I wasn't being led by that. I was being led truly by prayer and by I'm going to stay open to the opportunities that present themselves to me. And I had learned at a young age of tapping into that intuition and prayer, and I trusted that. And while many times it seems daunting or seemed daunting, I never wanted to play the comparison game of I got some of my friends and buddies out on Wall Street making big money, and I'm not stacking up at age 27 that I'm not even making money at this point. I'm just going down this journey of trying to figure it all out. Looking back, it makes sense, and I present it in a way that is linear. But let me tell you, it was a very emotional time of my life, and it was very formative as well. I think your 20s are about really experiencing life and learning what you don't want to do as much as what you do want to do, right? I don't want to do this, but I know I want to eventually do this.
You know, at the end of the day, I think it was Dan Sullivan, strategic coach, taught this to me, and that is you learn more from failures than you do from success. In fact, he coined the term, I think it's his term, success is a sedative. It leads you into a false sense of security about things and yourself. I got to believe there's a lot of people listening to this, and really it'll be the young people who are going through this scenario now, trying to figure out how to go forward. And we can talk about that at the end, some advice, because I think you can give advice to people early on, in the middle of their career, and at the end of the career, and how you see that. Now, to be fair, you're not even close to the end of your career,
right?
Because you're gonna be like me. We're gonna be working until like we're 110.
Yep.
Let's talk and go a little far. Let's talk about your business that you started and what was it called? I think it's still called the same thing.
Yeah, Fitness Quest 10. Fitness Quest 10.
Why that name? Why that name?
It was around a card table with 99 other names.
There you go.
Figuring out, hey, it's the quest for excellence in your health and fitness. 10 is a special number for me. It was always my athletic number. I am the youngest of 8 kids. Mom and dad make 10.
Got it.
And then also now, interesting enough, my wife's birthday is on the 10th. My kids' birthdays are on the 10th, except for one. I messed up on that one. I timed it perfectly otherwise. But 10 was always the number that I was like, hey, it's the striving for excellence in all that we do. So Fitness Quest 10, the quest for excellence in all that we do, that just became the signature statement of the business. And that was the beginning.
Why did you choose the location that you're at currently for the business?
I didn't choose it. It chose me. I was doing a health fair. I was doing a health fair, and I was actually doing massage therapy for a company close. And I was out in the boondocks at the time, 23 years ago. I'm like, where am I? But I knew I was looking for space, and I was driving around because this woman had said, hey, do you know of any Pilates or yoga studios in the studios in the area? I'm like, I don't even know where I'm at, but no. But as I drove around, I stumbled upon the shopping center, and I saw a space available. I went up to the second floor of this space, and I looked in the window, and Dave, I get emotional thinking about it, but I saw the vision. All of a sudden, I felt and I saw like this vision of people in there and smiling and high-fiving. And I just all of a sudden, I'm like, this is the space. And remember, I couldn't call the number on the window because there weren't cell phones.
Right.
So I wrote the number down. I went home. I called the landlord. And they're like, what do you do? I was trying to understand. I'm like, well, I'm going to buck conventional wisdom, because in year 2000, if you remember, mostly it was just big box gyms. And I was proposing to do a studio where I would do one-on-one training and people would pay me only when they came in. There weren't going to be memberships. We had massage therapy and body work, and we had Pilates and one-on-one training. And that was it. And the guy's like, so is it like physical therapy? I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like physical therapy. I negotiated 3 months rent free.
Right.
And thank God, because I had no clients. In the first couple of months, Dave, I'm like working out 3-4 hours a day. I'm like, this is the best job. I'm working out all the time. And then I'm like, wait a second. this isn't going to work. I'm in great shape, but I don't have any clients. So next thing I know, I kind of started to learn the ropes of, hey, I got to get out there in the community and start to network and that. And Donna Dickinson, my first client, walks in the door. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of within 6 months, my schedule was full. I was doing 40 to 50 sessions one-on-one a week. We started to grow. Within 2 years, I had 18. At that time, independent contractors. We eventually turned them all into employees. And then before we know it, we're growing. We expand twice, took over another 1,000 square feet. Now we had 3,000 square feet. 3 years later, in 2006, I invested in a $500,000 expansion to the what was 7-Eleven below us. And invested in what I called my dream facility. It's a high performance facility for all the world-class athletes that I started training in 2003. And that was kind of the start of a lot of momentum. And next thing I know, in the athlete community, it's all word of mouth. And, you know, my first guy was LaDainian Tomlinson, number one, you know, first round draft pick for the San Diego Chargers at the time. He brought in Drew Brees, who I've been training for 21 years now. Darren Sproles, Chris Young, the baseball pitcher who was, you know, used to be in Kansas City.
Yep. But
Chris, a good friend. Now he's over with the Texas Rangers, and, you know, Mike Chandler and all the athletes started word of mouth. But that was only a small sliver of my business was the athlete market. Overall, as a company, we were working with everyone. But for me, as a former athlete who knew about high performance, but also knows about pain and pain recovery and staying out of pain and getting out of pain. That was the impetus for me getting in the first place was people who had bad backs. And next thing I know, I became that guy who, when Vaughn Parker first came into me, left tackle for the San Diego Chargers, he had a bad back. And next thing you know, oh, I got a bad back. Well, guess what? That in the beginning, that back pain that decimated my dreams, all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm a man of faith. I'm like, I see what's going on here. And for 25 years, that's what my dream was I'm going to use Fitness Quest 10 as the vehicle to allow me to share my gifts. And Fitness Quest 10 has been that. And it has since expanded just beyond the brick and mortar as well.
But I've learned here, you have a unique differentiator that you sell to people. Yeah, I'm going to help train you, but I deal with the pain that goes on physically and knowing you emotionally and spiritually. That's a differentiator, and it plays to one of the issues that I see with businesses, and that is, how do you differentiate? How can your business be a little bit different? So right there, I would know how to go out and say, here is Todd. Here's where he is different, and here's what additionally he brings to the table. So that's fascinating.
That, Dave, and mindset. Because what I learned in training the world's best athletes is they weren't necessarily coming to me just for the strength and conditioning. All of these athletes have full-time strength and conditioning coaches in their teams.
Yeah.
But what I learned is, as a coach, as a mindset coach is, listen, you got to call an ace, a spade, like whatever it is. And I've always been a straight shooter of, if you want to achieve your best, if you want to be your best, your mindset is everything. And in working with those athletes that have to not only get to the top, but stay at the top, man, it's about mindset. And now going way beyond just the athletes and working with the entrepreneurs and businesses that I have, it's all about the mindset to continue to not only achieve success, but what if you've achieved success? How do you stay there? How do you stay hungry? How do you stay where you're really emotional about not only success, but significance and impact and all the things that I've learned these lessons over the last two decades of my life as a coach. And man, so much of it is the wiring of your brain. And how can I tap into somebody's heart and soul to let it make sure that performance doesn't just stay the same? We got to get better. And it's that whole, you know, 1% better mentality. It's the mentality of you're not done yet. Dave, you've said it before. I've heard it on your show before. You know, are you going to retire or are you going to rewire? It's the same thing with the athlete mentality. And I preach with everyone I work and coach is it's about mindset. It is about making sure that your mind is so strong through pain, through tragedy, through setbacks and adversities and struggles, is that you use that sometimes your scars to become your strength, your scars and your struggle to become your strength, because ultimately that's your superpower.
Well, And to your point, that's how I've seen a lot of business people, male and female, get better, because they learn from those difficult times, and it can propel them. It could also, frankly, cause them to shrink, and we don't want them to shrink from it. So great insight. So you still train a lot of athletes, I know, but you've evolved. It's more than athletes. You're dealing with business folks. Tell us about that and the training.
Dave, the last, I'll say, 7 years or so, I started doing more and more speaking. And the more speaking I was doing, I really enjoyed it. I'd go on stage and sometimes in front of, 25 people in a company or 50 people or a conference, on up to thousands. And as I was doing more and more motivational speaking and keynote speaking, the impact that I was reaching, I'm like, man, there's something that I feel like I can grow my impact because I'm reaching more people.
Who got you into that? What was the first step? Because people always want to know, what's the first step? And maybe you don't remember.
The first step was inside of my own industry, inside of fitness.
Okay.
And as I was doing more fitness, the motivation that I was delivering inside fitness, it became ubiquitous across all the industries. So people would be in the crowd sometimes that actually ran another company or were part of another company and said, hey, can you come speak to my company? And that might be around financial services. It might be education. It might be law, like all these different fields. And in 2017, I was on this TV show. It was called Strong. It was on NBC.
Yes.
And
yes.
The reason I share that is because now all of a sudden I'm doing more speaking. I go on the show, primetime NBC. I go on this show and I got exposed to a different world again. And now I'm reaching people through a different medium. At that time, it's changing now, but in live network TV, it was an experience that forever changed my life. And my mind started to expand of, I was being called to go even deeper in my walk, not just at Fitness Quest 10, but in speaking and coaching, because I was getting a lot of inquiries starting around 2017 to help people in their walk and journey of life, personally and professionally. Hey, I'm stuck. I used to be an athlete or a high performer, but I've lost my mojo. I've lost my energy. I feel burnt out. I feel empty. All the things that Dave, that I've experienced over my career and had to keep growing and going to say, I feel like deep down inside, there's another level that I haven't tapped into, because I can keep doing what I'm doing and it's good, but I don't want to die someday knowing that there's something inside of me that I didn't tap into. And the outside world is saying, oh, that Durkin dude, he was successful and he created a lot of impact. Yeah, well, that might be the case, but deep down, I knew that I didn't fully step into my best self yet. So that was the impetus to starting to speak more and coach more, even outside of fitness. I still coach and speak inside of fitness, but my world outside of fitness and in coaching has really gone to the next level in the last few years.
In this episode, ladies and gentlemen, very exciting. Todd Durkin brought so much energy that we talked for well over an hour. So we decided to split up our conversations in two parts. Todd has so much to share, given his background in helping professional athletes all over the United States, those in the NFL and other disciplines. In our episode with Todd, we'll get into Todd's plan for his legacy, reflect on his mission, and hear how he is using his unique gifts to make the biggest impact he can. So be sure to subscribe to the show to be notified when it launches. If you are in search of assistance, please go to davesider.com and schedule a consultation. Also, make sure, please, to subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platform, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, be safe. And I want you to know that this podcast is provided for educational purposes. It does not constitute legal advice, and it is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in the podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.